Now let's turn to John 14, and then we'll look at John 16, 33. But John 14, looking at verse 1, and John 16, verse 33. And look at these two verses here. John 14, wait a moment till you get there. And we've been using this particular scripture as a reference scripture here. And this is Jesus speaking. I'm going to read from the King James. You can follow along. I'm going to read also from the Amplified. But it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." So when you read something that says, "let not," the inference is there that that's something you have to do. You have to let it not. Let not your heart be troubled. Now verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." So we can't ask God, "give me peace." You know, like a little child, "give me something." And your parent says, "I already gave it to you. Why are you asking me?" Jesus already gave his peace. When the Holy Spirit, if you don't think so, just keep your finger there. And I know it may be difficult. See, this is the one advantage of paper and not electronic. I can flip over to a couple of verses and keep my finger. You can't do that unless you open it up in another app. But anyways, you don't have to turn. Let me read it. Galatians 5. And it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit," his influence, his presence in us, says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. When he took up residence, he brought in peace. He gave it to us. So we don't have to ask him for peace. "Lord, give me peace." He will turn around and say, "go look at this verse here in John 14, 27. My peace," what? What did he say? "I leave with you. My peace," what? "I give unto you." So the question is, how do you activate it? How do you activate the peace of God? You've got to believe it, and you have to do what? You have to begin to say, "he lives in me. The peace of God is in me. It's working in me." It says, "not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The Amplified says, "peace I leave with you, my own peace I now give and bequeath to you." He bequeathed it to us. "Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled." So we're not to let these issues that come. The greater one lives in us. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. 1 John 5:4, "whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world," what? Even our faith. My faith in God's word causes me to overcome. I can overcome anything with God's help. I can do all things. Philippians 4:19. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." That doesn't mean some things. He said all things, all things, all things. I can overcome. I can come through it. I can get through it because he strengthens me by his Spirit. Well, I tell you, when you're strengthened with the love of God, when you're strengthened with peace, when you're strengthened with his power, you can overcome. You begin to see it like God sees it. I mean, we could just read Psalm 2. He said, he who sits in the heavens laughs. So sometimes when we begin to see something like God sees it, we can laugh. We can begin to laugh at the adversity that tries to come in my life and the issues. Amen. We can. So John 16, let's take a look. John 16, 33. Talking about laughing or having good heart, good cheer. This word cheer actually means to have courage, to be bold. But John 16, 33, it says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me, see, where you say, where's the peace? It says, in me you might have peace. In me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. This word tribulation means pressure. That's exactly, if you look it up in a concordance, that's what it means. It means pressure. It means oppression. It means affliction. It means tribulation, distress, difficulties. That kind of paints a picture of what's going on, what people walk through. They walk through pressure. They walk through tribulations. They walk through life. And there's stuff that happens. But what did Jesus say? He said, in the world you shall have tribulation. You're going to have pressure. You're going to have problems. You're going to have stuff. But he said, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He overcame it. And I'm in him so that I can overcome it. I can. And this word, to be of good cheer, the word cheer means to be of good courage, to exercise courage, to be bold, to have confidence. So he's saying, it not just means be joyful. He's saying, be bold. Be confident. Exercise your confidence. Why? Because I've overcome. I've overcome the world. I've overcome these adversities. Be confident. In what? In me. It's my strength in you that will put you over. So he's saying, be of good cheer. Be of great confidence. So we're going to have to take authority, or, you know, as I say, control over our minds. God's not going to do it, and the devil can't. He can't make you think on something. He'll put something in your life that he'll tempt you with something to think on, but he won't make you. God won't make you, and the devil can't. He doesn't have authority to do that. If he did, you'd be possessed. And you're a new creature in Christ. God lives in you. So the devil can't just come in and take your mind. He can't do that. He can't. So what does that mean? That means you have a choice. Something can look real tempting. I really want to think about this pressure, this issue, and talk about it. But God is saying, be of good courage, I've overcome it. Don't think on it. Philippians 4, let's go over there, Philippians 4, 6. Philippians 4, 6. It says, be careful or be anxious for nothing. That means no thing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Verse 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Some of the other translations that we've referenced in the past lesson, Good News Bible, it says, don't worry about anything. The Wuest translation, W-U-E-S-T, stop worrying about even one thing. The New American Bible, it says, dismiss all anxiety from your minds. Present your needs to God in every form of prayer and petitions, full of gratitude. The Passion Translation, it says, don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. Tell him every detail of your life. The Amplified, do not fret or have anxiety about anything. And the Passion Translation, in verse 7, it says, when we do that, verse 7, then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will make the answers known to you through Jesus Christ. Sometimes when we have the peace of God, you know, when you're, and I just say it this way, if your mind is flooded with worry, you can't think on two things at the same time. If you're going to meditate on worry, then it's going to be difficult for God to interject here and get in and to give you thoughts, because last week we were talking about what you elevate, what you exalt. You know, we were talking about the word exalt. What you lift up, what you exalt, what you elevate becomes dominant, becomes ever so, you give it place. You elevate it in your life. So you give it this big place in your life, and so God may be coming in and trying to lead you, and you're crowding that out or squashing that, or it becomes this voice that's back here, down here, and it's overridden by your thoughts of worry and anxiety. Peace is what will lead us. That's why it's so important. All the past, if you go over to Proverbs 3, and it talks about wisdom, it says wisdom's paths are peace. So when God is trying to lead you, it's kind of hard to lead you with peace when you're full of worry. It's very difficult when you're full of anxiety and worry. I remember one time, when I first started with this ministry, I was in a car accident. My brakes went, and I was in a car accident, and it was, you know, in the sense of my fault, I hit somebody. And that accident, I got served a subpoena, and it was in the value of over $250,000. And this was 30-some years ago. So there's a lot of money today. It was a major amount of money back then. And I thought, ooh, I'm cooked. I mean, I saw my life go in front of me. For that amount of money, I'm thinking, I hit somebody. My brakes when I hit them. I'm technically at fault. So anyways, the long and the short, this thing, you know, went through all of the process that it had to go through, but as I was sitting in my office at the church, right from down here, I heard these scriptures rise up. Just like we're talking about, I raise a hallelujah in the midst of the storm. I'm sitting at my desk and I'm thinking, oh God, I need help. And from right down here, I heard the scriptures, Malachi 3:10. They just rose up. I wasn't even thinking about it. The Holy Ghost said, if you bring your tithe into the storehouse, I will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing you can hardly contain. And the next verse said, and I will rebuke the devourer. I'm telling you, as God is my witness, I jumped up out of my seat and I said, he's rebuked. He's rebuked. I'm a tither. And I took hold of that scripture verse. It was revelation. And for the next 6-8 months, you got to walk through a process. You have to be in front of lawyers. You got to be in front of people. All of this stuff. Had to do depositions, submit information. It was not comfortable. And every time it began to crowd in my mind, like, oh, I'd rise up and I'd begin to say, but I'm a tither and God has rebuked the devourer. He will not touch me. I'm serious. I latched onto that scripture verse in the midst of the storm. And I'll tell you, it went to the Supreme Court because of the amount of money. And what happened was, they, because I thought, you know, to put it in context, my insurance policy at that time was for $50,000 on my car. There was no way it was going to cover over $250,000. So I thought, ooh. But God knew that. And so what happened was, went to court. They said, I didn't need to be there. We'll call you if we need you. 3, 4, 5 days went by. Get a letter in the mail. Thank you very much. This has been settled. And I'm thinking, how was it settled? They said it was settled within your insurance policy. And I said, yes, sir. He rebuked the devourer because he meant to destroy me. And that's why I'm saying the only way you get to activate the word of God, you've got to take the scripture, and when it gets hard, when it's tough, you got to say it and not budge. You got to say, this is, he's working in my life. He's working in my situation. He will not steal from me because he's a destroyer. He's a thief. And sometimes just before the light, there's a storm. Just before the breakthrough, there's a storm to ruin you, to defeat you, to destroy you. And you better hold on to God's word. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I'm not going to fear. I'm not going to do it. You're not going to do it. So let's take a look. Jump over to Matthew 6. I'm going to look at this here. Matthew 6, 25. This will get us through some of the toughest, these principles will get us through some of the toughest things that we have to walk through in life. God is for us. He is not against us. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Well, if he won't forsake me, neither will the word, because he is the word. So if I hold on to the word of God and I confess it, the word will not forsake me. Who? It won't forsake me. Matthew 6, 25. It says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought. That means no anxious thought. Your margin in your Bible, or you can look it up. It just means no anxious thought. It doesn't mean we don't think about our life, what we're eating and drinking. That's not what that means. We all do. We think about things. We plan. That's part of life. He gave you a brain to use. But it does mean that we're not to be anxious about our life. Why? Because he said here, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? And now here's why we don't take anxious thought. Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet what? Your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking anxious thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, or you could say therefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no anxious thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now let's go over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Very familiar scripture verse. Second Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. See, it's important to read these because if you have fear or anxiety or you've got anxious thought, this is right here. God has not given us a spirit of fear. So if you've got some fear, it didn't come from God. And please don't say, well, God's trying to test me or God's doing something in my life to prove something. That's not God. The devil comes to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That's not fear. We just got done reading Galatians 5. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, meekness, temperance, faith. That doesn't sound like fear to me. For God hath not given us what? The spirit of fear, but of power and of love and what? A sound mind. Not a mind full of worry and anxiousness. So what does that mean? When fear comes, you go, no, no, no. I don't have a spirit of fear, but I have a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. You've got to do what? How do you activate that? You believe it and you say it. And you say it and you keep saying it. This word power is dunamis or dunamis. It means the power for performing miracles. It means the power residing in us. He says, this is what the Greek definition is. Power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature. So the mere fact that God resides in me, his power is in me. And it's in me. How do I activate it? Through faith. How do I activate the power of God? Through faith. And faith doesn't just believe. Faith believes and speaks what it believes. So when you don't feel full of power, when you don't feel peace, you're going to have to say, oh, no, no, the peace of God is in me. Because that which is without or on the outside sometimes may seem greater than what's on the inside. And you're going to have to cause that which is on the inside to rise up. How do you stir that up? You stir that up by believing and speaking, praying in the Spirit. So greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. The Passion Translation, God will, of this 1 Corinthians 1:7, God will never give you the spirit of fear, but the Holy Spirit gives you mighty power, love, and self-control. Let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Romans 8, 15. Romans 8, 15. See, when God says, when he says, I have not, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now look at Romans 8:15. It says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to what? To fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You see the connection, bondage and fear? We've not been given what? The spirit of bondage again to fear. So don't let fear in. Don't let it in. You can't fear if you don't let it in. Remember what Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, who went about doing all healing all that were what? Oppressed of the devil. He's the one that puts the pressure on. Turn over to Psalm 9. Psalm chapter 9 and verse 9. Psalm 9 and verse 9. Psalm 9 and verse 9. I love the Psalms. Psalm 9 and verse 9. This will encourage your heart. What does it say? The Lord also will be what? A refuge for who? For the oppressed. A refuge in what? In times of trouble. He's the refuge. He's a refuge for who? The oppressed. A refuge in times of trouble. Back up and go to Deuteronomy 28, Deuteronomy 28, this contrasts the blessings and the curse. Deuteronomy 28, the first 14 verses talk about the blessings, and the from verse 15 to the end, to verse 68, it talks about the curses. But look at verse 29. And this is talking about a curse here. I'll wait till you get there. This is talking about the curse of the law. It says, and thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness. And thou shalt not prosper in thy ways. And what? And thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. So part of the curse was to be oppressed. That's why Jesus went around healing all who were oppressed of the devil. This word oppressed means to crush, to be exploited. Turn over to Galatians 3:13. See, because part of the curse was you could be oppressed if you didn't obey him. Right? But Galatians 3:13, this great redemptive scripture, Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. It says what? Christ hath. What does hath mean? He's already done it. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. So what we just got done reading was the curse of the law. Thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore. No man shall save thee. That was under the curse. Christ became a curse for us. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. I'm not subject to the curse of the law. He redeemed me from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now, let's go back to Isaiah. Let's look at Isaiah 54. Isaiah chapter 54. And look at verse 14. Isaiah 54 and 14. I tell you, these are exciting scriptures because we don't have to be oppressed. We've been redeemed from oppression. It says in Isaiah 54, 14, in righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. The Amplified, it says, you shall establish yourself in rightness. Righteousness, rightness in conformity with God's will and order. You shall be far from even the thought of oppression or destruction. For you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. We've been redeemed. We've been redeemed from oppression. We've been redeemed from fear. And we have been given his peace. We've been given his peace. Hallelujah. So one thing, you know, I just turn back to Psalm 57. I want to just look at these two scriptures and we'll close here. Something that was in my heart during the week, Psalm 57 and verse 7. Psalm 57 and verse 7. You know, when you get the scripture in your heart, this is the psalmist David. He went through some stuff. But look what David said in Psalm 57, verse 7. He said, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. This word fixed means to be stable, to be established, to be securely determined. It means to stand. I like this. Just look it up in the, and I looked it up in the dictionary, Merriam-Webster. It says the word fixed means not subject to change or fluctuation. It means firmly set in the mind. Listen to some of these other translations. The Contemporary English Version, it says, my heart is unwavering, God. My heart is unwavering. I will sing and make music. The Amplified, it says, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is steadfast and confident. I will sing and make melody. Turn over to Psalm 112. Psalm 112 and verse 7. Psalm 112 and verse 7. Psalm 112 and verse 7. And this word fixed is the same thing, to be steady and confident, not subject to change or fluctuation. Look at this here. In the King James, it said, "He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord." Oh, yeah. Because evil tidings can come knocking on your door. But this says here, you're not afraid of evil tidings. Why? Because my heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Listen to some of these God's Word translation. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart remains secure, full of confidence in the Lord. I'm not going to be afraid of bad news that I hear. I'm not going to be afraid of bad news coming in my home. This is a good news translation. He is not afraid of receiving bad news. His faith is strong and he trusts in the Lord. Oh boy, yes, sir. The Amplified, it says, he will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is firmly fixed, trusting, leaning on, and being confident in the Lord. The New Living Translation, they do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. See, that's why it's so important. Your heart, if it's not confident, see, that's why it's so important. How does your heart become fixed? How does your heart become confident, not worrying? Because worrying will affect your heart. You meditate on it long enough, you start talking about it, it gets down in your heart. And then your heart's not fixed. It's not secure. It's not settled. And all of us might not be at that place in every area of our life, but how do you get to that place? By meditating in the Word, by speaking those things that you believe, so that when evil news comes, when evil tidings come, when bad news comes, you're not shaken by it. Because why? I'm confident in God. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing praises. So right in the middle of the storm, just like that song, I'm going to raise a hallelujah. Right in the midst of the storm, I'm going to sing. How do you do that? How can somebody sing in the midst of a storm? Your heart is fixed. My heart is settled. My heart is confident that God is good. And he's for me and not against me. And he will see me through. That's what I like this, some of these translations. He is not afraid of receiving bad news. His faith is strong and he trusts in the Lord. See? Praise God. So when we have faith, this faith that we're talking about, Hebrews 11:1, let me just read some of these translations here about being fixed and confident. The Moffat's translation says, "Now faith means that we are confident of what we hope for, convinced of what we do not see." When I'm confident in something, when I have faith in God, I have confidence in something I don't see. I don't have confidence in that which I see. I'm convinced that what I see is temporal, but what I don't see is eternal. And that's what the scripture says. Faith, or trusting in God, is conviction of things we don't see. Confidence certain of things we can't see. So I might be going through pressure. I may not have peace that I'm sensing, but I'm going to believe that it's been given to me, and I'm going to walk in peace, and I'm going to walk in the confidence of God, because first of all, peace has been given to me, and it's residing in me. It's living in me. Joy is living in me. How do you activate that? You activate it by believing it and saying it. And the more you elevate the Word of God, the more you elevate that which has been given to you, you believe that what's been given is in me, and you begin to believe that and say that, it becomes real. It's activated. It's you know, the same thing. What happens if I take two chemicals? I can put something in that that's an activator, something that gets put into those chemicals, or a chemical will activate something. It's the same thing. Faith activates the Word of God. Just turn over. Look at this scripture in James. James chapter 1. Or actually, it's James chapter 2. And look at verse 17. James 2:17. See, I put in mine. I actually look at verse 14. It says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works?" Actually, it means a corresponding action. He said, "Can faith save him?" Well, we know the answer to that is no, it can't. A man believeth unto righteousness, but confession is made unto salvation. You have to say with your mouth what you believe. You've got to say that Jesus is the Christ. Verse 17, "Even so, faith, if it hath not works," or a corresponding action, "is dead, being alone." Verse 20, "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works," or an action, a corresponding action, "is dead." Verse 26, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." So it's more than just believing that God has given me peace. I've got to have my heart fixed, and what we believe, we speak. And that's how we're going to activate the peace of God in my life. Greater is he that's in me. Greater is the peace that's at work in me than this fear that's trying to grip my mind, or worry. My heart is fixed, O God, and I'm not going to be moved by evil tidings or bad news. My heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. And it may make you, you know, want to give up or quit or say things aren't working. Don't ever say things aren't working. That's what the devil wants. He wants you to say, it doesn't look like it's working. And at the same time, things are working in the background. Working, 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 working on your behalf. Keep your faith working. Some things may take time. When it involves other people's wills are involved. God is not going to override a person's will. So you keep the switch of faith turned on. You say God is working in that person's life. Could be your husband, could be your wife, could be a friend, could be a co-worker, could be your children. You begin to say God is working in their life. When it comes to me personally, then I believe God for myself. Nobody else is involved. So we need to keep our faith active, keep our words active. Say with your mouth those things that you believe. I believe God's working. I believe that, you know, just I mean, take the simple things of life. When things are pressuring you and you look like you can't make ends meet, you begin to say, I'm a tither. That's the first thing. I bring my tithes into the storehouse. He said, I will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you can hardly contain. He said, if you bring your seed into the storehouse, he also said, what did he say? He said, he will provide seed for the sower. He will multiply your seed sown. He'll give you seed and bread to eat, and he'll increase the fruits of your righteousness. You need to say that. You need to say that. Not, yeah, I believe that, but I don't know how we're going to make it. That's not faith talking. Faith speaks what it believes. You may have no money in the bank account, but you need to begin to say, my bank account's full. It's running over. My health is strong. I'm not weak. What does the scripture say? Let the weak say, I'm weak, I'm strong. So you don't speak what you have. You don't say, I'm full of fear, I'm full of worry, I have no peace. No, you say, I'm full of peace. I have no fear. And you may be shaken, but you better say what you want to have, not what you're trying to have. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for that which is working in our lives. We speak it, we confess it, we believe it. We thank you that we have the peace of God. We thank you that the word of God is working in our lives. We thank you that the healing power is working in our lives, in our bodies. We thank you that the peace of God guards our hearts and minds. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you that the devil is defeated, not only in our lives, but in our children's lives. We thank you, Father, that the word of God is working mightily in this area that we live in here. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't really have anything else, but I would just encourage you, take the word of God that you've heard, and just take, even if it's just, there's a lot we share, but just take one area of your life, and as they say, a double dog dare you to. Take one area of your life, you know, and start working the word. Get something working in an area. Don't say, well, this don't work, and this don't work, and this don't work, and this ain't working. I just tell you, keep your mouth closed and get one area working. And then when you get one area working and it's productive, you'll say, hey, if it works there, it's got to work over here. That's my point. Get the word working in your life, even if it's just one area. Begin to activate it. Get it working, and it will stir your faith to start working in another area. That's what I did with myself. I got the word of God working where healing was concerned in my body. But financially, it wasn't working. And God began to reveal and show me how to get that working. You know what he said? This is what he told me. I was in a time of prayer. He said, if you would work the word in the area of healing, he said, if you would work the word in the area of finances, like you're working the word in the area of healing, you wouldn't have room enough to contain it all. That's what he told me. So I was the one, because I'm asking God, why isn't this working? He said, the reason it's not working, because you ain't working it. He said, you're the problem. You're not working the word in the area of finances like you are now working the word in the area of healing. You got success. So we can have success in every area of our life if we take the promises of God, get them in our heart, and speak them. They will begin to activate the power of God. You know, I think sometimes, here's where we miss it. I just close with this comment. We miss things trying to determine this is how it's going to work. And when we don't see it working like we think it's going to come to pass, we then conclude it not working. Well, you need to just keep saying the word of God, and God will lead you to do what? Fulfill that which you're speaking. All we're supposed to do is believe. We're not the ones that make it come to pass. He's the executor. We're the believer. We believe. That's all we're required to do. We're not the ones to make it come to pass. He knows everything. He'll open doors to fulfill things in your life that you couldn't possibly have managed. All you have to do is believe. Believe the what? The word of God. And say it, and he'll begin to say, go over here. Do this. Go over here. And you'll begin to find yourself walking in the promises of God that you've been confessing. When you say, my body's healed, it doesn't say how that's going to come to pass. He may have you do some things. He may have you change your diet. He may have you exercise. He may do something to cause you to change some things in your life. But what you need to do is begin to confess the word of God, I am healed. My body functions normally. Every tissue, every organ of my body functions in the perfection that God made it to function in. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I do it. I mean, how do you think Joshua was able to say at 84, I feel like I'm in my 20s? He said, I feel like I'm in my 40s. How was he able to do that? He didn't talk negative. He didn't talk unbelief. That's how he got there. Praise God.